On tonight's Hillbilly Nerd Talk, Hank and Petra's life update, surgery, middle age, and parents.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk with Hank and Petra.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk. I'm Hank.
And I'm Petra.
Petra, I had a surgery, been out of commission for a little bit.
Yep, we've been trying to get to podcast for several days now, and
you know, I feel guilty. It's this invisible pressure. I mean, we do have followers, and there is an invisible pressure.
To get one out every 2 weeks, or is it every week? What's your pressure?
Every 2 weeks is good, okay. I think. And, I mean, I enjoy it, so it doesn't, I mean, I don't want to sound like it's like an awful pressure.
No, huh?
But I guess I just feel guilty when we go for a while without podcasting.
Hank had surgery. We're back now.
Yeah, and I honestly just didn't feel like it.
No,
is part of it.
You feel.
I tried
you were,
to.
You were great to be not grumpy. You really were. You were.
I've tried, but at the end of the day, I mean, it's surgery. I had shoulder surgery, basically a rotator cuff repair to keep it simple. I did some other stuff in there too, but anyway. I mean, I'm in the medical field myself. I've seen a million people with this surgery. I know how painful it is. I've seen them my whole career. But until you go through it, you don't know.
But it was pretty bad.
It's pretty damn painful. I have to say, it is one of the more painful. That first night, part of the procedure is they basically, there's a bone in your shoulder called the acromion. And part of the procedure is basically shaving that bone off to make it thinner. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That sounds simple. You shave a bone off to make it thinner. By
You're shaving a bone.
Yeah, by shaving a bone, you're taking a literal medical Dremel grinder and just, you know, millimeter by millimeter, just grinding that bone off layer by layer until you get it thinner.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so you've got exposed. Just imagine running a burr like that over your skin.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, that's what's going on internally.
Yeah.
That has to scar over and heal, and not scar because it's bone. But, you know, you've got to repair that. It's got to be, your body has to respond to that. It doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah.
It thinks I've been attacked by a giant saber-toothed tiger that bit into my shoulder. It doesn't know.
No, it doesn't know that it's just a... something to help it heal.
Right. So that first night, it was pretty darn painful. It was very, very like a raw. And at times, like even no matter as still as you could possibly make it, there would be like a weird, like a shudder of pain that would go through it. Like a wave. And you're like, oh my Lord, that hurts. And I haven't done nothing.
Yeah.
And it's just your body, I guess, just those raw nerves and things exposed. And good Lord. Then you got to get over the anesthesia. And you got to get over all that. That takes a few days.
Yeah.
It's just been an inconvenience.
Well, and you were so damn determined, like, to not need help. Like, your doctor told me to get you a bigger shirt. Like, to help you get on and off over your head. Nope, Hank didn't want that. And, you know, like, you had surgery on Friday afternoon.
Right.
So, it was late Friday. Saturday, Sunday morning, you got up and you're like, well, I want to go get on the elliptical. It's like, it's not even been 48 hours. The anesthesia is definitely not out of your system. So, you're going to go balance on a fucking elliptical. And it's like, nope, you're not going by yourself. And you were going to take off and drive yourself.
Well, sure. Just a mile down the road.
I know. I was like, nope.
Petra was a good little guardian angel.
I had to be.
Slash prison guard.
I know. And then the next day, you were just bound and determined. You just took off on a big old long trip because I think you'd had enough mother hen. I really do. I think because I had shuffled everything to be able to do it on Tuesday. And you shuffled everything so you could sneak off on Monday.
What do you mean do everything on Tuesday?
Go for it. Go on the trip to visit your uncle.
Oh, well, I didn't do it on purpose. It was just one of those needed to be done kind of things. Yeah. I wanted to get it over with.
Okay. I thought you were kind of, over the mother hen.
No,
thing.
Not really. I think you did a great job, and I really appreciate it.
Well, good. I didn't want to be overbearing, but I also really wanted to.
I wouldn't do anything goofy. I mean, I'm in a medical field. I'm not going to do anything that's totally endangering myself.
No, but I did watch you really push yourself on this too. So,
well, yeah, there's a line. I mean, you've got to, you know, with your physical therapy and you're getting your motion back, mm-hmm. you've got to push it a little bit.
Yep.
It's part of it.
The way we keep pushing each other after surgery is the next time one of us has surgery, we're just going to like not even need anesthesia or anything.
That's right.
We're just going to be like, yeah, just do it.
Just get in there. I got some killer pain pills from it. Yeah, now I can join the rest of the hillbillies.
You can. we had a buddy that told us to sell them in the parking lot.
We got Percocets. Oh. Hydrocodone. I'm so... pillbilly illiterate that
you
I didn't know Percocets was the same thing as hydrocodone. Somebody's making fun of that. I'm like, I'm glad I don't know that. good.
Yeah, it's really not been a major thing in my life if I don't know that. Yeah.
So this is probably, I think for my sinus surgery, I tried to take one of these at one time and did nothing.
Yeah.
I went ahead and let you get the prescription filled.
Yeah.
Just because I knew this was a very painful surgery.
Yeah.
I took one of these hydrocodone Friday. It didn't do a damn thing for me.
I don't think it does either.
I don't think it took the edge off my pain in any way.
I don't know if that means that we would be more likely to be addicted to it if we abused it and snorted it. Or if it means we'd be less likely.
I don't know, but I don't want to say I was looking forward to it, but in a way I was curious. So like, all right, well, what the hell is everybody going crazy? What is the fuss about? I'm finally have a real medical reason to take these. So I'm going to get to see what everybody's mm-hmm. raving about. And I didn't nothing. Like I said, it didn't help my pain. I don't even think it, could you tell? Did I seem high or loopy or anything? I didn't feel any sort of euphoric nothing.
You were slightly uninhibited.
Slightly uninhibited. Okay. Well, if that's it, then I just don't see what the fuck.
Well, I mean, it was just, but it was in a funny way because I'll tell this one.
This is Friday night. Great.
Friday night, you're just like, we're going to watch a movie. So you sit on the couch mm-hmm. and we've got a big like roll down movie screen,
yeah.
Roll down the movie screen and like no input from me whatsoever. Usually you're so, you know, let's make a decision on the movie together. You're like, bam, we are watching the Lego movie.
Well, whether it's the narcotics or not, maybe, I don't know. Maybe
it
a little less inhibited.
It was hilarious though, because like they're like the behind your back. I'm sorry, but my mm-hmm. brothers were like, they're like, oh, surgery. You're going to be taking care of him tonight. This is going to be hilarious. See Hank on medication.
Hank on narcotics.
They wanted me to take film, blah, blah. And I was like, no, it's not going to be that bad. But, well, I may have a 6'4" toddler. I'm not sure. And then, boom, you pull up the blasted Lego movie. And I just walked in, and you had it already up on the screen. So I had to take a picture and send it to him. I'm like, nailed it, toddler.
Well, maybe. All right. Maybe that had something to do with it. I personally, the way I thought of that, and you're right, we usually do, just to think of, I'm just going to pick what I want.
That's awesome.
That's just what I thought. Food-wise, I pretty much ate what I want. I'm like, I've had surgery. I'm wounded. I'm going to eat what I want. I'm going to
watch
the movie
I
want. I'm going to sit here. I'm in a lot of pain. So this is kind of a me day.
Okay.
So that was my only thought process. I just didn't feel like endlessly, you know, debating what to watch. I just wanted to sit down and zone out.
Well, good for you.
And maybe
good
that's exactly
you.
What narcotics make you do. Like, okay, I'm going to sit here and watch this movie and zone out. Maybe.
Maybe that's it.
But all right, if that's it, that's what I got out of it. I got no high or anything like that.
We did watch the Lego movie, which is awesome.
Lego Batman. I'll stick by that is a funny-ass movie.
It was kind of funny. It was. And I like that they make fun of Batman for being just Batman.
The Lego movie lets them, almost just like a cartoon, it lets it be ridiculous.
Yes.
And make fun of something very sarcastic. What's the word I'm looking for? Sarcasm. Yeah.
It can be sarcastic. It can be absurd, over the top. I mean,
yeah, it was all that.
Yeah, it was funny. Anyway, it was kind of cute. It was kind of cute. I'm totally glad you picked it. Don't regret it. I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was funny that I had kind of predicted that you might be a little, I don't know, like a big toddler. I thought it was great, though. I did. And I think we all need a me day every now and then. I don't think there's anything that we should feel guilty about that for. I wish I'd allowed myself that more often.
Well, and then on top of that, where they intubated me, these tubes in my mouth, I've got these sores that, frankly, are a pain in the butt.
They're miserable for you.
Yeah, they hurt. Like, it does. Even doing this podcast kind of, even now, hurts a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not a lot, but I mean, but they're just there, and I feel them, and they're aggravating.
I'm sorry.
A little stupid thing called aphthous ulcers.
Yeah.
I'm sure our listeners are love hearing me bitch about all my medical problems.
This is the Hank's Medical Podcast here. It's funny.
I don't know about a lot of humor in that, but that's just how it goes.
Well, it's just, you're doing that. I'm in physical therapy, and everybody wants to know what's wrong with me. And I'm like, I'm old, bitches. I'm old.
You know, let's just make this the old whiny, bitchy podcast tonight.
Cause I have bursitis in my hip.
Yeah, I get it.
Can it sound any worse, any older than that?
Well, let's talk about some of the other stuff. Like you said earlier this week, another reason was I have an uncle who we went to visit, or I went to visit.
Yeah.
Who, when he was very young, moved to Ohio to get work, which that's very common for our area.
Yeah.
Our little area, our little geographic area. Extreme poverty. Even now there's extreme poverty, but back in the day it was really extreme.
Well, there were no government programs to help you.
Yeah, you basically either found a way to find food and some sort of job locally, no matter what it was, with coal mines or whatever, or you moved your ass to somewhere else and got a job.
Yeah.
Well, he moved his ass to Ohio and got a job.
Yeah.
And you know, he was telling me that back in the day, this is from, if you can picture a basic map wherever you're at on the world, but, you know, in eastern Kentucky, and he moved to central Ohio. Today, that drive takes 3 hours, approximately.
Yeah.
He says when he started going and doing that, it was an 11-hour trip. Because every road between here and there basically was a two-lane road.
Dang.
Wrap your head around that. So that really was back for those guys in those days. We're talking 50s, 60s.
Yeah.
That was like moving across country. Hell, we'd be in Florida in
11 hours.
Yeah, that'd be like that kind of situation, moving that far to get a job. That many hours away from your hometown.
Wow.
That's how terrifying that must be.
That would be as a young person. But sometimes that's what they just had to do.
I admire
it. All right. Your uncle.
Yes. My uncle, all of a sudden, suddenly, he's went from healthy. We had dinner, probably lunch
Christmas.
Together. Even after that, he was down here taking my dad to a doctor appointment.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, within the last, let's say, 2 months to having lunch, just joking, talking with him, he's got terminal cancer. He's got about another 2 months to live, tops. And I mean tops.
Yeah, he's in bad shape.
So he's moved back to Ohio, staying with his daughter, which is why I made the trip to Ohio about 3 hours from here to visit him, because he's probably not coming back to our area. I basically wanted to say my goodbyes.
Yeah.
God, that's awkward. Holy shit.
It is, isn't it?
It was unbelievable. I mean, when I first got there and I was getting out of the car, I'm like, oh, my God, how I dread this. And dread it in, like, what do you say? What do you not say? Just the awkwardness that I'm coming to see you because you are going to be dead in a few weeks. That is so weird.
I cannot put myself in his shoes.
I can't either.
I really can't.
I can't either.
Which is weird because
I know that that's what happens with family members. They make you think of your own mortality when you're going to see somebody who's dying. I get it. Or you go to a funeral. But my goodness, I don't know if it's just because it was so sudden or this or because we're getting older. But I don't know. This one's hitting me.
I can tell. It's had you in a bundle.
I don't like it. Yeah. Because we're all going to die.
Well, we got hit with my dad's death earlier this year.
That's true.
Hank, I kind of finally this week started, laying my cards on the table and looking at them instead of hiding them from myself. Like, okay, my dad has passed away this year. My mom is not in a good place mental health-wise. I'm not in a good place, menopause-wise. I'm not in a good place thyroid-wise.
And hell, even our cat's sick.
And the cat's sick.
Hell, even Chevin Meow's sick.
Why is this all out on the table? It's like, no wonder I feel fucking crazy.
And I had surgery.
You had surgery.
It's like all around us. That's what's making it weird about it, I think, is that...
Like, your dad's really not handling his brother very well.
No. No, it's... And this is the thing, I think, that's getting to me. Is I know this is the tip of the iceberg. Do you understand? This is the tip of the iceberg.
Yes, dear, I do.
As we get older.
My iceberg has been looming.
Yeah. I mean, all these things you just named. You named all those people on your side. And then, like you said, then on my side, there's my surgery. My dad's having trouble. My uncle's terminal now, he's a pretty close uncle. So, yeah, between all this, and that's what I dread. I just dread that as we get older, until we die, it's going to multiply exponentially the people around us who are sick and or dying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and I dread
that. We are middle-aged now.
I dread it.
We are 100% middle-aged
now. You know, I've had contracts with home health with home health and hospice agencies. And I went through their little course, not a full blown social worker type course, but I've been through the quick version of here's how to deal with terminally ill people, like what to say, what not to say, how to handle the situation. So I know all that.
Yeah.
So that does help. And I know the main thing is to basically, and this is hard for some people. It's really not for me, but don't be judgmental.
Uh-huh.
Don't try to preach to them and tell them. Basically, for once in people's life, don't be so fucking selfish. It's not about you. It's about the person dying. That's the basic main gist. Like, don't try to, okay, well, you're going to have to accept Jesus. You're going to die soon. No.
Yeah.
You go in and you talk to them. If they ask you to pray with them, of course, if that's in your belief system or if that's your whatever.
Uh-huh.
But don't just automatically go in there and say, okay, we're going to pray. And another thing you don't do, you don't sugarcoat crap.
Uh-huh.
That's a biggie with hospice, and I think that's a very good point.
Okay.
You don't tell people like, oh, it's going to be okay. You're going to get better. No, you don't do that because they're
don't
not going to get
false help.
That's right. So anyway, I tried to do all that with my uncle.
Yeah.
With Uncle Charlie. And, we never even talked about it. Never.
That's kind of a relief in a way, isn't it? Or is it the elephant in the room that hurts?
Yeah. A little bit of both. I'm relieved, I suppose. I guess I just wasn't close enough to him that he wanted to talk about that, any of that.
Yeah.
We talked about UK basketball and... stuff, hunting and fishing, and he told me the story of how he ended up in Ohio from Eastern Kentucky and some of that stuff, but it was just very casual. How's the family doing? How's everybody else doing? Things like that.
Yeah.
About 3 hours of casual chit chat is what it was. And
okay.
I couldn't have been more relieved. That's why, I mean, if he had wanted to talk about something, I would have, whatever.
Well, that's what you've got to do. That's
crazy, right?
Yeah.
So,
it's tough. It's tough, but I don't know. I think I've dealt with some of that a little bit before. Like I've had a grandmother home when we first started dating, I had another grandmother that went to hospice.
Going through hospice, yeah.
Well, she didn't go into hospice until it was like maybe a day before she passed away. I don't think she was only a day.
I don't know.
But my other grandmother was, she'd had like open heart surgery and a bunch of stuff. And I mean, it was last ditch effort. Should never have done that to her, but
I don't know how soon Uncle Charlie is going to go into hospice or if he even will. I mean, it's all up to him, but I don't remember the exact steps or all of them, but you know, the stages of dying, the whole, you know, shock, denial, anger, I don't know, grieving, and I think one is bargaining. I think one's acceptance, finally.
Yeah.
But anyway, whatever order that is, I don't think he's past the denial part.
Yeah.
Because even when I was up there, he mentioned, like one of the chit-chat things, he mentioned some farm next to him in eastern Kentucky that basically he was like, yeah, you know, I'd love to get that farm and, you know, it's right next to mine. It'd be, you know, I bet that guy'd sell that cheap. And, you know, I'm like, are you kidding me? You got 2 months to live. What the hell are you talking about buying a literal farm?
He's talking to you about his dreams that didn't come true.
I think you're right. Yeah. That's a good way to put it. That's a great way to put it. Oh, gosh. It's all around us.
Isn't it? It is.
It is scary. And you've mentioned it with your mom on the show before. And again, we'll just make this basically a podcast about some of this stuff.
Sorry that there's not a lot of laughs.
Well, who knows? There'll be something somewhere. But, you know, my dad, Mr. Stoic, I've griped about him on the podcast a million times about his insensitivities and just being a jackass at times. But with all that being said, he's the very stereotypical, I'm not going to complain. I don't, you know, very stoic kind of a person.
Yeah.
Well, to hear him cry the other day when I talked to him on the phone talking about his brother Charlie was kind of heartbreaking too. Because he's 86 and he's starting to have problems. His girlfriend told me today he fell in a bathtub the other day and they almost had to call 911 to get him up. Like she was that far away. Mm-hmm. And they finally, she was able to get to bend his knee under him enough. And she was able to push and pull. And they finally got him out of the bathtub. But he had fallen in a shower tub.
Mm-hmm.
So that's heartbreaking.
That is.
So, so my dad's got that going on.
Does he need a shower with a handrail and all that kind of stuff?
Of course, he needs all that.
Okay.
And here's the thing. Here's what I was going at with that. Just like you mentioned with your mom, I know this is going to happen to all of us, I guess. But he's like a kid again.
Because
with Uncle Charlie, I've had to talk to my dad more often.
Yeah.
Just to give him updates. And I'm going up there. And I told Dad, like, look, if you want to talk to Uncle Charlie, you better call him because he's not going to be around much longer.
Yeah.
Or if you want me to drive you to see him, I'll be happy to do that.
I heard you saying that, and I was like, oh, my God, what's happened to Hank? I
don't know.
Yeah, but, I mean,
I would have done it.
Yeah.
So, anyway, during those conversations, Dad has a girlfriend. He's 86 years old. I know that sounds ridiculous, but he does. He has a girlfriend. He has somebody, and they're close. I mean, when I say girlfriend, I don't mean that flippantly, like it's just nothing.
No, I mean, I think she lives there now, doesn't she?
Well, yeah. I figured that out because the little kid of him doesn't want anybody to know that she lives with him now. I went to see him. Listen to this. I went to see him, you know, probably 2 months ago. Just to hang out, go have lunch, just to visit, basically.
Yes.
And his girlfriend's there. Cheryl's there and my dad's truck is there and that's the only vehicle. So when I pull up and I walk in the house, there's Cheryl and my dad and I'm like, oh, well, how'd you get here, Cheryl? There's no vehicle here or, you know, or something. It somehow came up.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Cheryl's had surgery and she's not supposed to drive right now. So, her kids just drop her off here and, you know, they'll come back and get her later. I'm like, huh? Okay, whatever. this sounds like teen dating. Yeah. Okay, whatever.
It's old people dating.
Old people dating, I suppose. That's what you do. You get your kids to drop you off and come pick you up again. Listen to records, whatever the hell you do. So I just didn't think anything of it. But then now that this, you know, deal with Uncle Charlie, my dad, who's 86, mentions to me he wants a new car, or he wants a car. His truck isn't working very well. He wants a car.
Okay.
I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm like, I don't know why you need a damn car, but I'm not really, whatever. So I find him a car online, Auto Trader. He asked me to get on Auto Trader because he's, you know, he's not that internet savvy.
Yeah.
And come to find out, the reason he wants a car is because of what we were saying, that Cheryl now lives with him.
Yes.
They have one vehicle. Cheryl has given her car to her kids and has moved in with Dad. And so she needs a car.
Okay.
So that's the deal. So I have to find out, like, pull it out of people.
Out of them, like their like little kids.
Like their little kids hiding this whatever.
Well, and then the only thing that I can say is, for every bit of grief that we gave them as teenagers,
I guess
they're going to give it to back to us as adults.
Maybe it's a circle of life.
It really is. That's how I've been looking at it. And I finally realized in the last couple of weeks, like with my mom, like I cannot expect her to be motherly in any way anymore. Like she acts just like a little kid.
Right.
Like she's needy from me.
You're going to be the mother.
I'm going to be the mother.
That's right. Not her.
She is no longer filling that role. And for a while it was hurting my feelings because she still wants to fill that role for my brothers.
Right.
You know, but for me, it is just like when I talk to her, I feel like I'm talking to an octopus. Like it's just like need after need after need after need. And
life's tough with setting these boundaries.
Yes.
And knowing limitations. And, you know, these boundaries are fluid, but we've talked about it before. I mean, I feel like it's important to set boundaries with people.
Yeah.
I do with everybody. Me and you have boundaries. Everybody. Yeah. It's not a bad thing.
Well, I don't have good boundaries because growing up, I wasn't allowed to have boundaries.
Right.
Okay. I was not allowed to ever say no or like just, I mean, I was not allowed boundaries as a child. I was a possession. So, you know, I did what my parents told me. So it is harder as an adult for me to set these boundaries.
No, I can see that.
So I'm working on it. I work on boundaries with you, with everybody. I have to work on boundaries with everybody. And with Mom, it has especially been hard. And there are times when I'm learning now that even if I see the tragedy unfolding, you know, whatever's going on in her life right now.
Right.
Like, even though I can clearly see this is no damn good.
Right.
I just got to let her do. If it's not, like, catastrophic.
Isn't that the worst, though?
Yeah.
And I know that parents, again, that's that role reversal. I know parents sat back and had to watch us make awful decisions when we were young.
Yes.
And at some point, they could only give so much advice. So I guess now it's our turn. It's just another example of when I thought about my dad or with any of these people. If they're grown adults.
Yeah.
And if they, as long as they are obviously not demented in some way.
Yeah.
If they want to make an awful decision, how are you going to stop them? And it's not even your right to try to stop them.
No, it's not. It's not.
So I don't know. And, you know, but this car situation, though, so, you know, I talked to my sister about this, so she's in the loop. So she knows that now there's somebody living with Dad.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't know. And so my sister brings up a good point, and I wanted to see what you thought. My sister's point was basically that Cheryl should buy her own damn car. That if Dad's buying a car for her and they're living together, why the hell is Dad buying a car? And she definitely doesn't think that me or her should buy a car for her. What do you think? What's your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are, Cheryl is going to be driving your dad around a lot.
Yep.
Cheryl is going to be taking your dad to doctor's appointments and buying his fucking groceries.
Right.
I would go buy Cheryl a car tonight if I could.
You know, that was kind of my thoughts, too. That is the other side of it, and that's exactly what I thought.
And honestly, I think your sister can't see it because it's going to be us doing the doctor's appointments, not her.
Well, that's where we'll have to set a boundary because I don't have, I can't do that. I don't, I mean, I have a life too. But yeah, that's the counterpoint. And I agree with you 100%. And I told my sister that because the car we're talking about, we're talking about a $5,000 car. I found something.
Which would be a $5 million car for some folks. Keep in mind.
I get
it. For your sister, it would be way more expensive.
I get it.
It's the same price, but we can handle it easier than she can.
Well,
for convenience.
Yeah, there's that. But, yeah. And my dad hasn't asked me to buy this car, by the way. But but that's just another issue of this whole soap opera is dad wants to buy a car for his girlfriend who lives with him. He's asked me to find this car, which I found. So now it multiplies the problem. Like, do I step in and be the nice son that buys this car for dad, or do I let him buy it? Because you know what I'm saying. Like, to be nice, I wouldn't care to just buy it. But then if I buy it, then my sister's going to be kind of, I don't know about mad, but. Yeah, it's one of those.
It becomes almost a competition, like you're the favorite son now.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is a landmine field. Yeah.
I mean, and my sister's made it pretty clear, her thoughts, that, well, Cheryl should buy her own damn car. So the option of, well, you want to pay half of it and do that? I don't know if that's going to fly. I don't know. But I'm like you. The practicality at the end of the day, like if I didn't have my sister to deal with or any of this shit, you're 100% right. I'd pay $5,000 tomorrow because Cheryl is going to keep my dad out of a nursing home, basically.
Yep. That was really loud. But
she's going to be a stay-at-home nurse who's going to keep his ass out of a nursing home, drive him to doctor appointments and all that crap.
Yeah.
It's totally worth $5,000.
I'd buy her a nice car.
Right. But then I do see my sister's point, too, that, you know, she has a retirement. She's not poor, and she's living there. If she wants to buy a car, she ought to buy her own damn car. So I see both sides.
All right. Why don't you chill out? Because your dad is the one buying her the car. And remember when you got mad at me for not letting you say that you bought me a car? Like, maybe he just wants to buy Charlotte something. Like,
you know,
he was a shit bird and didn't go visit her in the hospital when she was having surgery. Maybe he needs to be nice to her right now.
You know, that's a good point, Petra. See, it's why I waited to bring this up on the podcast, because I really genuinely wanted some problem solving here.
And your dad's a very practical man and may realize that, yes, she's going to be the one, you know, driving him around and taking care of business.
Oh, he 100%. He's 86, but he's a smart dude.
Yeah.
He's a very intelligent guy.
He is not at all impaired by age. So
no, and you're exactly right. And whether, surely to God, they have some sort of romantic friendship, something. I don't want to say he's just totally using her. I hope not. But that being said, he fully realizes that this is his way to stay out of a nursing home.
Yeah.
I guarantee you he knows that.
Well, and I've had a discussion with her before, too, and she knows he's a crotchety old cuss.
She apparently loves it.
But she eats it up. He makes her laugh. They have a good time together.
Right. They seem to be a good couple.
So let it be. I mean, I would love for my mother to have a companion, male or female. I don't care. Like, if it was a romantic relationship and somebody that she could go to movies and dinner with and, oh, even better, go to church with.
Oh, wow.
That would be fantastic.
The trifecta.
Lord.
Dinner, movie, and church.
Yeah.
The trifecta.
Yep.
That'd be awesome.
I feel bad for her because I know my mom and dad were still physical when he died.
Right.
Yeah, I can't imagine, like, not, I mean, we snuggle in the morning and usually at night, not having somebody to be physically close would be tough.
However long the grace period is, I would hope your mom, like you just said,
somebody,
a female friend, a guy friend or romantic person, whoever. I mean, I feel like that's almost required to be a mentally healthy person.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see how your mental health wouldn't deteriorate if you didn't have that.
Yeah.
Like you just said, just some snuggling on the couch. We've seen all the studies, how many studies have we seen about this little things like hugging and touching releases oxytocin or whatever the hormones are that are the.
Well, she has a little dog that helps some,
right?
And this is one of those things, the trade-off things, the practical trade-off things. My brother lives in the area. He very quickly got guys that he knew to refinish an apartment for mom to move into because she did not want to live in the house that dad built. And I understand that. After he passed away, she couldn't stand being there for a while.
Sure.
This was brutal on her. Then, so she's moved out and now he's moved into that house and he's asked several times, like, do I mind? And it's like, are you kidding me? I don't want to see somebody else in that house besides you and your family. And you are, you know, he's basically a block away. So
yeah, he's serving the same.
Yeah,
but it's respectful for him to ask.
It and I appreciated that.
If he didn't ask, then it would be kind of jerky, at least to not broach it up and bring it. So I think that's a good thing.
Overall, generally, our family has done great with.
Oh, you believe me. I think
everybody
so too.
Just trying to support everybody and get through this.
I agree.
Which is terrible. I hate to be like, get through this.
Well, let me tell you, one of the things with Uncle Charlie up there, just shooting a bull, and I'll have to say, I know that sports fans, it's different.
Uh-huh.
You know, whatever you're into, you're into. If it's fishing, some common bond, whatever. But I have to say, more and more, this will sound so ridiculous. But
you going to talk about UK ball game?
I am going to talk about UK ball game because it's a weird common bond you can have with people if you just have something in common, whatever it is. But for me and a lot of people around here and Uncle Charlie, it's UK basketball. We probably talked an hour, and I mean about people who played back in the 80s and the 90s, and we talked about the Rick Pitino years and the Joe B. Hall years in the 70s, and me and him both. I mean, you can name players, and it was just it's almost like a metaphysical weird thing that you can use to have a common something with somebody. Where am I getting? I'm getting ready in about an hour from now to hang out with a bunch of drug heads, former drug heads. Here's what I wanted to say, drug addicts.
Yeah.
I'm going to hang out with a bunch of drug addicts and alcoholics who are reforming themselves.
Cleaning up their lives.
Getting themselves straightened out in basically a rehab program. And I'm going to go watch a UK ball game with them.
Yeah.
And that'll be something that'll be a fun. I'm bringing a bunch of pizzas and because they're all from out of town. I'm going to have it in a fun little way. Okay, well, now you live in Kentucky.
You've got to learn to watch UK basketball.
Yeah, you got to learn to speak the language. So you're going to have to get with the program. And so that's what we're doing. That's what I'm doing tonight.
Yeah.
So it's a weird when you have something in common like that.
You know,
it's a weird good thing.
I do.
And that's why I think in Kentucky, especially, like there's very few sports things like that that I think truly is at the level of Kentucky and basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I really think it's something unique. I've lived other places and people have sports teams and they follow and this and that.
Yeah, but it's not like a statewide thing.
It's not like a statewide religious experience type thing.
Yeah.
Like this is almost, I guess that kind of I don't want to say religion. I'm not serious about that. But, I mean, it really is something beyond it is normal. Cultish. It's definitely cultish. There is no doubt it is cultish. I mean, we follow every move of these players. I've heard John. You both have heard John Calipari speak.
Yeah.
And I've heard him say a couple of times, like, you know, he has to tell these players, like, do you understand that as soon as you sign this paper to commit to UK, do you understand your Twitter account is going to have 30,000 new followers tomorrow? Do you understand that? Like, this is what we're talking about. We're talking legions
everything
of people.
Becomes celebrity gossip for the state of Kentucky.
Every interview you give, everywhere you go, there's going to be people taking pictures. You don't even know they're taking pictures. Like, this is serious to these people. It's more than a sport.
They're scary and they wear blue.
Yeah. And we try to be positive and it's a positive thing, but my goodness, it just is. And I just wanted to bring that up too, that with Uncle Charlie and they play tonight. We're getting ready to watch them. You know, it's going to be a phenomenal.
Well, all right. My experience was totally different because with my side of the family, and specifically when my dad's mother was passing away, like, they're Pentecostal.
Yeah.
It's like the only thing you can talk about is religion. And you have to. Like, I laid and read so much Bible to Mamaw. That was what we called her, Mamaw.
Yeah.
And, because nobody else would. Like, these chicken shits in my family. Excuse my French. But this poor woman has been through open heart surgery. They have cracked her ribs open, put them back together. She's still not going to make it. So she's basically at home, laying in a hospital bed there, kind of miserable. And she had MRSA even. Like, she had some skin infections going on that was very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And my aunt was just, like, off the deep end. My dad was losing his shit. And I get it now because that was his mom terminally ill. I've lost him now. I understand.
Right.
You know, everybody else is just, like, running around like Chicken Little and stuff like that. Nobody's taking care of Mama. And I was like, okay, so I get the Bible and I crawl into bed and we wrap up in an afghan as, you know, comfortable as we can. And like, I was the one that spent like the last couple of nights with her because people couldn't get their shit together and not be selfish for this one little old lady for her last night on earth, you know?
Yeah.
And that just hurt watching that. And no, she was not the most pleasant grandmother in the world. I have some of the better memories of her.
But she deserved that.
Yeah, but she just deserves somebody.
Yeah.
I feel like everybody does. I feel like everybody really does.
It'll just be so weird to go through that. And we're going to go through it.
Yeah.
We're going to die.
And either suddenly or prolonged.
And I don't know which is better at this point.
I don't either.
I mean, knowing you've got 2 months to live and get your stuff together, or I feel like that is because I'm just a control freak.
I'm a control freak. I feel like I need 2 months. I wouldn't want 2 years.
I don't know how much I want. Well, as long as I can.
Yeah.
You know, the one old guy I told you before, an old friend of mine from the old back in the medical days, he used to come into our medical clinic. And then he ended up with terminal cancer. And I saw him a few days before he died. And I tell you, that old dude, he's smart. And he gave me some really good, just practical, you know, country boy, good old country boy philosophy, hillbilly philosophy, is what he gave. And he was exactly right. He said, as he brought up something, and he's the one brought up to me about dying and this and that. And he's like, listen, you don't. He said, if anybody knew the answer, then nobody would be going to doctors and hospitals, and he wouldn't have all these surgeries. He said, every one of these guys and people that say, oh, I'm religious, I know I'm going to heaven when I die, and all these religious people, he said, let me tell you, he said, they're full of shit. They don't know any better than anybody else, and he said, and the reason you know that is because, like I was saying, he said, they will have every medical procedure. They will do chemo as long as they possibly can to stay on this earth another day or hour or minute because they don't know either. And I'm like, that is profound. And he is exactly right. you can say all they want to, how 100% positive they know they're going to go to heaven and live with Jesus. They don't.
I don't know. I think my dad did.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe there's
my
some people.
My dad was the most.
I don't
like,
want to say. I don't want to speak
person.
In absolutes. I suppose yeah. there's a few, but even
and
at that,
I'm jealous. Like I wish I had faith in something like that. I wish I did.
But even
but
at
even
that, your dad took medicine.
Even him, as faith based as he was, you know, going back to it, like losing his mom, that was shattering. To him.
Mm-hmm.
It is shattering to us when we lose
no, it is.
Family. It really is.
Well, the point is, I just don't think anybody knows.
No, I don't either.
And, well, in fact, I know nobody knows. And we've talked about it before. I mean, why is there hundreds of religions? If there was one distilled, we know this is what's going to happen, there'd be one religion.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like that. There's obviously... probably thousands.
But man, we are just compelled to not want this to be the end.
I know. It's a very, you know.
It hurts me to talk about that right now because, I mean, I don't want to think that my dad is no more.
I
like,
know.
Just no more, no more.
But we just don't know.
We don't.
That's the weirdest, hardest pill to swallow in the world to me. How I don't care if Stephen Hawking just passed away.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know. Nobody knows. This is nothing anybody can solve this equation. This is not an equation that can be solved. Nobody knows.
No.
So I don't know. It's just trippy.
And it's almost frowned upon to explore that.
To explore what?
Like what happens after death.
I guess.
Because it's completely considered the realm of religion, faith.
Yeah,
like
I don't.
Like science isn't supposed to tread on it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't.
It's weird to me.
I wonder, surely there's been some scientific something somebody tried to.
I know one thing that I think is pretty common.
But I don't know what you could
do. In operating rooms, they have above the room, there's a ledge that runs around with stuff written on the ledge. So if you have like an out-of-body experience and you're supposedly looking down on your own body, you're supposed to be able to see that. Like that's one thing that they're trying.
Well, see, that's something interesting. I wonder if that's ever scientifically been proven to happen.
I don't know.
That's very interesting. Well, I don't know, but it is trippy. I had something I was going to say and totally forgot it. Oh, well. Hospice, dying.
This has been the most sad show. But
well,
I don't know.
Well, just a conversation about real life.
It's been real, though. And I think we kind of needed to have this talk amongst ourselves, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
what the hell was I going to say?
I don't know.
I was going to ask you something about something.
Well, you brought up Stephen Hawking. Anyhow, this was the week that he passed away.
Yeah, and like I said, if people like him can't figure it out, then nobody can figure it out as far as just what happens. Oh, I know what I was going to say. That it would be, the one thing I have heard that does is a philosophical thing that does make a little bit of sense, that of some at least evidence in my mind that there possibly is an afterlife of some sort is like you just said, that all humans seem to have this innate genetic belief that there is something afterwards. Now the religions that take you there, that's evolved culturally.
Absolutely.
But almost that I know of, every culture believes in some sort of afterlife. Somebody may pick out some obscure one, but in general, every culture, every person in the world believes there's probably something, or most people. It would be a huge cosmic joke if there wasn't, because our bodies and our minds and the way we are designed, like you become thirsty because your body craves water and needs water.
Okay.
All right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You become hungry because your body has to have food to survive.
Okay.
Well, it would be a crazy cosmic joke if we all,
like humans,
humans in general, believed there's an afterlife and then there wasn't one. That would be kind of a cosmic weird joke.
Okay.
Now, I've heard the flip side of that to say, well, maybe that was a genetic thing to keep you going.
Yeah.
And keep you alive long enough to have babies to perpetuate the human species. And maybe that's a genetic thing that developed.
To endure suffering and...
Something to keep enduring so you can get to this afterlife.
Because we are this weird species that, you know, has a long childhood, then has an adulthood, you know, where you're raising children and then you're taking care of the elderly. You know, we do have this weird social structure. We're very strange.
Or it could have evolved to be, you know, well, if you're a good person, you'll go to this good afterlife.
Well, that's just social control.
So that evolved maybe to, you know, keep all the cavemen from killing all the other cavemen in your tribe. But I don't know. I like to more think of it as we do have this basic as humans belief in some afterlife. So I don't know how to get there. I'm not a religious person, but I'd like to think there's something.
Well, I've had a huge crisis of faith this year.
I definitely don't believe and can never believe the traditional Christian, what you're supposed to believe in that sense. Literally. I can never believe it literally.
Yeah, like the literal interpretation of the Bible.
If somebody wants to tell me figuratively, and these are stories to teach you a lesson, I can live with that. But I cannot live with the whole
Noah's Ark.
None of it.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it. Any rational thinking human being, it makes zero sense. It just does. It makes no sense if you take it literally.
Like, it's just practice for being able to double think and double speak in a lot of ways.
I guess.
So.
How many times have we talked about this kind of stuff on the show? I mean, I could lie.
All right. The Bible, as it's written, is a product of its time.
It was written apparently over 3,000 or 4,000 years.
And hobbled together and.
I mean, let's face it. I mean, do people really honestly believe that people lived inside a damn fish for a week and then spit back up and live?
I was taught it was real.
I know. And I mean, it's obviously ridiculous. It's a story. To me, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe there's some religious person listening like, that's absolutely true. Of course.
Yeah.
And they try. Well, it was a miracle. No, I can't believe that.
Yeah.
I'm never going to believe that. I could lie in church and say, yeah, I wouldn't. I'd be lying.
Yeah, which is not is the opposite of the whole point of going to church. So I'm in the same boat. I can't swallow any of that stuff. Plus, I've realized over the last year that, like, in just the big difference in the way my mother treats me and my brothers, and it all goes back to church indoctrination and original sin. She really does, in some ways, see me as a sinful daughter of Eve. I mean, and like, this is really weird when you realize your entire childhood was slanted because of.
I know. It's
that religious indoctrination. And
I know.
I got pissed off about it for a while. I got really.
I understand.
Really gutturally angry and angry with mom for a while. And I've had to move past that and realize that's how she was raised. And, you know, I've had to work through a lot of that. And we haven't talked about this on here, but this is a weird show. And if somebody's still listening, I'll. You know, hey, more power to you. Here, you can hear some more weird stuff.
Actually, this is a great show.
When we first met, you know, you asked me what my religious faith was, and I think I told you I was pagan. And yeah, yes, I do practice some witchcraft, a form of witchcraft called hoodoo, which is more Appalachian conjure,
right?
Folk magic.
And that's basically like Wicca, isn't it or a branch of?
It's similar. It's similar.
Okay, similar.
Wicca has grown into a very complex religion of its own, like a religious faith of its own. You know, magic is basically saying prayers with physical components.
Right.
That's how I would describe it.
I've never been judgmental about it.
No,
and I don't,
you haven't. You just let me do my own thing, and you don't find any of my stuff too creepy.
Nope, I don't mind.
But I mean, and I've re-embraced that, even though for a while,
if you say
it
a prayer,
felt a little hollow.
If you say a prayer and light a candle, and there's some leaves around the candle, what's the difference in that and a Catholic mass where they go light a candle, burn some incense,
and they say
and say a prayer?
Yeah, it's very similar.
I don't. I've never had any judgment of that stuff.
No,
I don't care.
But that has, I don't know, comforted me a little bit.
Well, you that's know, great.
It's beginning to
do you think there's
help.
A higher power? You're praying to.
I hope there's a higher power.
Me too.
I'm not even at the point where I think there is. I just hope right now.
You know, that is a great way to put it. That's what I am. I can't. That's a great way to put it. I hope there is. That's the best I can do.
Yeah.
I can't say I think there is, or I'm almost sure. No, I can just hope. That's all I can do.
Yeah, and it's been a deflating year with the stuff that has gone on, with the stuff that goes on in the news politically.
When I do pray once in a while, well, maybe it's every maybe 3 or 4 nights, just before I go to bed or right before I go to sleep. It's usually with what you just said kind of tones. It's like, I don't know if this is doing any good, but, you know, I just want to let you know if there is somebody up there, I appreciate everything you've done for me. It's usually that kind of a thing. I'm not
like
praying, asking for anything. I think that's kind of weird and selfish, you know. Like, I'm not asking for... Yeah. Oh, can you, oh, please make the UK Wildcats win tonight.
Yeah, it seems ridiculous to me, too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not.
That seems ridiculous.
Right.
But, like, talking about, like, magic, and I don't know, I feel like talking about this a minute.
Please.
Okay. I feel like some people would probably think that I'm crazy, especially because...
People think
my involvement in science and everything. I mean, I'm a chemist. I guess I'm still am. I don't work in that anymore. But
well,
yeah, it's kind of weird when you're talking about like you have a need for a spell for something in your life, and you want something to happen. And when you're thinking about doing magic for it, you have to take. Or I do personally, because everybody does it differently.
Okay? Right.
Like you take a little bit, you take a step back and you look at the whole picture and you look at what you think you want to see happen. Mm-hmm. First, you have to figure out what you really want to see happen.
Right.
And then you have to figure out how you get there.
Well, that's two good processes right there.
Absolutely.
Of just in general, of anybody would benefit.
Absolutely.
And agree with that.
Okay. Then if you're going to pray for it, like there's a whole lot of different like correspondences, like colors and herbs and stones, and there's all kinds of wonderful fun stuff to play with
right.
when you're doing this. And they all have meaning, you know, usually culturally or
right.
you know, traditionally, say rosemary or something has been used for protection.
Right.
And if you're wanting to protect something, like you start planning your protection, like in the real world and in the magic at the same time.
Yeah.
Like you're taking practical steps
so
as well
like a-
as building, you know, using things that you feel protection from and putting them together.
So it's like a physical representation of what you're trying to do in
exactly.
life.
Exactly.
Well, that
exactly.
That doesn't seem crazy.
And just kind of running energy through that. Like that's how I see it.
Well, that doesn't seem at least a bit crazy to me. I mean,
well, good. I'm glad you've never criticized that or anything. And I've never really verbalized that.
Again, people do all kinds of stuff that they just, I don't know. What's the difference in that and having like a lucky rabbit's foot?
Not a thing.
or whatever, or you know, whatever it is. That's the only example came to mind. That's probably nobody ever does that anymore, but you know what I mean.
It kind
of
cracks me
up. I bet most people have some sort of little totem that they have that they think is a little good luck something.
Yeah.
Something.
Another threw mine away.
What's the difference?
She found it in my pocket when I was a kid one time too many and threw it away because she thought it was witchcraft.
No. And it might have been.
It was.
See? Oh, well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's been the update on Hank and Petra lately.
Yeah, that's what's going on in the family. That's some good spiritual food for thought for anybody.
We have got to start listening to you again. We've listened in the past, but we got to listen some more to that Rock Your Retirement podcast. Kathy Klein.
Yes, Kathy. I was kind of thinking that this is.
I've gotten a couple
right
of emails of like, and two, we've kind of started a business and are both working from home now, which is similar to being retired. And so because we're all together all the time now. So yeah, we've had
and these issues we're talking about. Year. I mean, she has a whole podcast. It's not, I don't want to pigeonhole into her into that's all she talks about, but,
no.
But I mean, the name of her podcast is Rock Your Retirement. So it does imply that it's kind of older,
mature people
subjects.
Dealing with life.
Yeah. With subjects that come up. Yeah. More often in our age group and older.
Yep.
So I that's a great idea.
We got to listen to this.
Yeah.
Well, we may be going to Atlanta for a ball game, so we might be loading some podcasts.
And she was a great guest on the show too. Yeah. So I wouldn't care to even have her back as a guest. And
yep.
We'll get
her back and pick her brains with some of the.
Yeah, maybe she can straighten our crazy families out. Give us some good advice on.
Yeah.
Give us some good advice on coping with them. That's the main thing.
Yes.
Tell everybody where they can find us, Miss Petra.
They can find us at hillbillynerdtalk.com, our lovely website. From there, they can go to your Twitter feed. You're pretty entertaining. And my Pinterest feed.
Yeah, I try to keep updated some. Again, I've been slacking last week or so, but I'm getting back on it now.
Yeah, he can use his shoulder now.
Yeah, it's all good. Watch UK tonight, and it'll all be good. We're number 16. God, it's a good time of year. You know what it's like around here.
I know.
Everybody wearing their blue.
It's like Christmas.
When I see blue and somebody else is wearing blue, first thing somebody goes, yeah, go Cats.
I know. It's like, crazy.
It's cultural.
It's ridiculous.
It is
ridiculous.
Awesome.
I love it. All right, everybody. Have a great week. We will try to podcast to you in another 2 weeks.